Hi, and thanks for joining us. This is Industry Insights, part of the Revy Network. I'm Mike Wixon, and I'll recommend to you right now, subscribe to the channel, wherever you're listening to this, on whatever platform, audio or video, and you'll find a wide array of great interviews with industry experts, much like we'll have today. So go ahead and do that and hit the notification button on YouTube, and you'll be notified every time a new episode is available. And it's usable information for the real estate management industry. So please share it with a friend and colleague. I think that they will appreciate that you did. Today, we're talking about a very interesting topic. In fact, it's a new standard that has been upgraded. CSA here in Canada and across a number of different provinces has made changes to two-way communications requirements in elevators. And joining us today from Kings 3 to talk about it is Danny Goldstein. Daniel, thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell me a little bit about how the law has changed or has been updated.
Absolutely. So there's many nuances and technical details in the background, but realistically, the key point of the law is it addresses what to do if a person is deaf or mute or hard of hearing inside of an elevator and they can't communicate verbally. So the law actually addresses it in a number of different ways, which includes new hardware as well as new responses from authorized personnel or the people meant to address an emergency situation.
What's the difference from what was in place and what is now expected in two-way communication in elevators?
That's a fantastic question. Part of the concept is that this is not replacing what was previously in elevators. So you still have essentially a phone or a two-way voice communication. Now, this tacks on the requirement for a camera as well as emergency personnel need to review and analyze the video feed inside of those elevators, as well as a LCD display or some form of messaging format that where the authorized personnel can send yes or no questions.
Okay. And so now this seems like it might be a fairly serious upgrade. You guys have developed an answer to this call. What is that answer and what does that mean for people with existing elevators?
Absolutely. So I'll do a bit of a shameless plug about Kings 3. Essentially what we do is we provide emergency communication and we provide the full turnkey process. So we're 30 plus years old, but our focus is to install, warranty, and then monitor through our emergency dispatch center how to address the internal emergencies that might happen inside of an elevator. So what we have done to address this code is we built APIs, so integrations with the hardware manufacturers, have built agreements with the hardware manufacturers so that we get notification immediately of when someone clicks that little phone button, what to do. And then we address it appropriately through our translator services, as well as our as well as our 24/7 staffed dispatch center.
So this really is sort of a turnkey situation. If somebody needs to upgrade and in a number of provinces, certainly we're here in Ontario where the studios are, this is one of those hot spots where this will need to be upgraded. This sounds like you have a turnkey solution for it.
Quite a bit. One of the things that Kings 3 has done in the past that's pretty fantastic is that we do a lot of the mitigation, to say the least. When you think about who to contact, how to process all of that conversation and going back and forth, we are able to manage a lot of that conversation as well as point people in the right direction on where to go and what to do.
Okay, so now when does this law take effect and, how soon will upgrades need to be required in the places where CSA, and as I understand it, the American standards as well, has applied it. Is that effective immediately?
So what's pretty fascinating about this, Canada, similar to the U.S., it's governed on a province by province or state by state location. Part of that concern is you have some locations that might be requiring it and other regions that not. So it's pretty important. You could actually go on our website and see the individual locations based off of their code requirements. That being said, if this location has adopted the code, it's focused on new installations as well as major modernizations.
Before we go, and I'll get you to provide some more information where people can reach out and connect directly with the experts, it just occurs to me that this kind of inclusion for safety may have even been overdue.
Quite a bit. And granted, that's a commonplace in society. Usually you institute a law or a set of standards, and then you see where the holes are and you try to fill them up with new codes and new standards. That's essentially what this does. It's not bulletproof, 100% bulletproof, but it definitely addresses a portion of society that was not being addressed previously.
Yeah, it sounds like a wonderful update to the standard. And I'm glad to hear that you have a solution ready to go for it. Speaking of which, where can people reach out to you if you don't mind, Daniel?
Absolutely. So people could reach out to me directly if they so wish. But the easiest way to reach out to us is through kings3.com. So kingsiii.com.
And please do that. Connect with the expert directly. The best advice I can give you is, well, frankly, I often hit the wrong floor when I get into an elevator. So I think you're better off calling Danny. Thank you so much for your time and for getting us through this update that is so very important to the people's safety in elevators. Danny, take care and thanks. We'll see you next time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mike.